Clearly, the church has in mind that we gaze on the mystery of the Eucharist today, on the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The text that they give us today to do that start with Elijah in the desert. So one of the first things we learn about the Eucharist is that it's desert food. It's a promise. Because when we're not in the desert, when we're on the other side of this quarter of an inch gap, we feed on him directly. And we don't have Eucharist, we have wisdom himself. And we feed on him, rejoice in him, because he shows us the Father in the friendship of the Holy Spirit. So, this story about Elijah is supposed to give us a glimpse of the power that's in the gift of the bread. Elijah ate and was encouraged first, then went back to sleep. The angel woke him up again, said, "Eat some more." He did. Then he walked 40 days and 40 nights to the place of revelation. He went back to where Moses had been. And he heard the Lord. He heard the Lord. That's a promise already. That if you will walk in the power of this bread, you will be given Torah. You will be given the law. And the law is the Holy Spirit. And God will show himself to you. When God showed himself to Moses, he declared himself. And he said, "Adonai, Adonai, merciful God and long-suffering, filled, full of loving fidelity and kindness." He pronounced his name so that until Jesus comes back and ends history, we can call on that name. And now we know it. It's Father. So one of the first fruits of this desert food, then, is to bring us, even in this life, to hear God pronounce his name within us. That's what Paul means when he says that we haven't received a spirit of fear, but a spirit of adoption. And God himself, the Spirit of God, witnesses to us who we are. And from the depth of our own spirit, in tune with, moved by the Holy Spirit, with divine affection, just like Jesus, we say, "Abba." That's the fruit of the bread. That's power, my friends. That's strength. How many million people have been strengthened by this bread in the last 2,000 years? How many millions? When God created wheat, he had the Eucharist in mind. He said to wheat, "All these other things that I've made, all these other foods, the barley and the oats and the apples and the oranges, they have a wonderful destiny. They're going to feed my people, give them strength in their body, delight them when they come together to eat together. But you, wheat, I have a greater destiny for you. You will feed my people with the very body of my son, Jesus. You will be the body of my son, Jesus. I have a higher destiny for you." And the same with the wine. A greater destiny. One that carries my people right into eternity. And in that way, you have a share in their eternity. Now, how much did Elijah understand of all that? I don't know. When we get to heaven, we can ask him. But surely this is told us so that already we understand that this gift of bread is a gift of life and power and energy and strength and confidence to hear God say his name. In the letter to the Ephesians, we have this instruction, do not grieve the Spirit of God. You were sealed. What does that mean? Well, in the old days, you know, there would be a clay jar, and there it is. It's in the palace of King Josiah. So it's stamped, Le'eshiyahu. This belongs to Josiah. Sealed. You were sealed. This one belongs to God the Father. There's his stamp right there. Sealed. Now, we can scrub it, try to get rid of it, you know. By the mercy of God, it would take a lot. Well, we can. People can turn from God. But you're sealed. You're sealed by this Holy Spirit. When the angels see you and when the devils see you, they see this one is on the way to eternal life. The angels say, we have to protect this one. And the devils say, we have to destroy this one. And that's why there's a spiritual battle. You're sealed. You're destined. You see? You were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, if that's the case, and the angels are looking out for you, and they see that seal on you, you see? L'Adonai, for God the Father, stamped right on you. So don't embarrass them. Bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, reviling. You're on the way to the day of redemption. And you have the power to get rid of that. Live like saints. You have trouble with anger? Bring it. And you say, well, sometimes it's not just me, it's one of these spirits, and it can be. Then you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce the spirit of anger. And because of the name of Christ, he goes. And now it's an even playing field. You just got your own emotions to deal with. Well, it's tough enough, but it's a lot easier. And so, all of that. Be kind to one another. Compassionate. See, compassion is not the same as pity. Pity looks to the need. Compassion looks to the person. Forgive one another as God has forgiven you in Christ. Now, we get very offended in Christian community. But, you know, nobody's dropping bombs on us. Nobody just wiped out our house and our family. And the Christians in Lebanon who hear that and hear this word today, they got to say, my God, I got to forgive them. Whether the Hezbollah or the Israelis, whoever dropped the bomb, I got to forgive them. I don't have the power for that. Well, then listen to the first reading. Elijah had power to walk for 40 days. You have power to forgive. It's not yours. Imitate God as beloved children. Imitate God as beloved children and live in love, walk in love, literally is what it says. As Christ loved us and handed himself over for us. And now we touch on the source of the power of the bread and water that Elijah had, on the manna that the Israelis had, the Israelites had, and on the Eucharist that we have. He handed himself over as a sacrificial offering, a sweet-smelling sacrifice to God. There it is. Now, what is that? You see, it is the flesh of Jesus Christ, the incarnate, eternal Word of God, among us, as a human being, among us, transformed by that act of love in which he died which was the fire of the Holy Spirit transforming him, like it transforms the fire transformed the sacrifices in the temple. Now, it's not that fire. It's the eternal Spirit, Hebrews tells us. It's the Holy Spirit transforms us, and that makes his flesh life for us. It's life for us now. It's the flesh of God. And it's life for us. When we finally understand this, I don't know whether we're going to fall down or just praise or both. This is the flesh of God. You want it. Not only can it heal you, it can change you forever. This is God's flesh. And so we have this, you see, they murmur. Well, how can he do this? He's come down from heaven. He's from around here. He is from around here, but he's also from heaven. Stop murmuring among yourselves. Listen to me. Believe me. And then he gives us, again, one of those secrets. Huh? Nobody can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him. The key is faith. The Father wants children forever. So he draws them to his Son who is Savior so that the Son can transform us so that our flesh becomes eternal. Not right away. We die. We go into the graveyard and everybody else. But anybody who has received this flesh of God and has not turned from him, it's impossible that their flesh remain corrupt forever. It's impossible. It's been touched by the flesh of God. This is the flesh that was given up for us. And now that it's been given up, it's full of life. It is written in the prophets, all shall be taught by God. That means we are being taught by God right here at this liturgy now. Remember, even in the sermon, no matter who the guy is, he's doing his best, it's Christ proclaiming his gospel. Revelation takes place when the word is preached. That's when it takes place. I say, here's Revelation. You see, that's not Revelation. That's ink on paper. It's revelation when it's preached. Karl Barth was right. So everybody who listens to my Father, very nicely put, huh? You can hear the Father, that's one thing. But to listen to him is something else, right? How many times when you were a kid, do you hear me? Yeah, I hear you. Your mother's calling you out. Do the dishes. You hear me? Yeah, I hear you. But you didn't listen to her. You're still not going to do the dishes. Until your Father comes along and then you do the dish. But to listen to him is something else. I want to hear you. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you talk. Nobody's seen the Father except myself. And then the open declaration, the wisdom of God incarnate speaking to us today. I am the bread of life. Life. Your ancestors ate the manna, which was a precious gift, but they died. This bread, you eat it and not die. I am the living bread. Not just the bread of life now. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. You know why? Because I am the tree of life. That's what Jesus tells us. You read it, that tree of life, you eat that, you live forever. But we lost it. And Jesus says, you didn't lose it forever. I am the tree of life. You eat of me, you live forever. Jesus, then I want to eat of you. Then believe. You eat by believing, and you complete it by the Eucharist. where my living flesh, which is the fire of the Holy Spirit, the flesh of God, will take over your life, heal your body, heal your mind, heal your relationships, bring you into the mystery of suffering like I do for the sake of this world. And this bread that I'm going to give you, it's my flesh that I've already given for the life of the world. My friends, it's nice. We're in the gym, you know, and it's Saturday evening, and it's nice. We're surrounded by so much mystery, so much love, so much kindness, so much fire. And the Lord is saying, let me touch you today. I have need of you. I'll send some of you out to the street to preach. I'll send some of you back home where you'll suffer and give it to me. But wherever I send you, live by me. Because my flesh is the flesh of God.